You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Day two throughout the test summer. Nick Hockley, the chief executive of Cricket Australia, is going to join us. Happy summer, Nick. Welcome.
Thanks, Jared. Great to be here with you.
What, did you enjoy the first day of Test cricket for the season?
Very much. Brilliant to be back. Really strong performance from the team. Patient in the morning. Once the ball softened a bit, they really showed the form they're in.
Are you a Test cricket guy or a T20 guy?
Oh, I love all formats of the game. I mean, that's the beauty of the game. There's something for everyone.
There is indeed. Was 10... I'm really interested. So 2 years without a Test here... Thinking back to the first day of Test cricket at this stadium, which was a Thursday, there was 20,000. Was 10,900 fewer than you would have hoped for?
I think you always want more. I think there are a number of factors. I think, obviously, we had the T20 World Cup postponed by 2 years coming in. So it's meant that we've had a very compressed schedule throughout this summer and a lot more content than normal. I think starting on a Wednesday, probably not the best. It's a very busy time. People are at school, people are at work, but really hope the crowd builds towards the weekend. And I think people are just getting used to this stadium. And as you say, it's been a couple of years since we've had Test cricket. But certainly speaking to people yesterday, the atmosphere around the ground, those people were having an absolutely fantastic day out, and we just encourage people to come down as the match progresses and towards the weekend.
Why did we start on a Wednesday?
Again, it comes down to the exceptional circumstances of this season. The scheduling's really complex, but with a T20 World Cup landing at this particular time, it just meant we had a little less flexibility in terms of start dates. But you know, I think going forward, making sure as many people can come as possible is our absolute priority. And you know, certainly, I think starting on a Thursday or Friday, you know, it gives people more of a chance to come.
Has it had enough of a build-up in this town, in Perth? So we flew in the day before. I suspect you did as well. Was the ground campaign on to rally people to come back to the cricket at this stadium, having been denied Test cricket for a couple of years?
I think certainly since the squads have been in town, I mean, the Australian squad has been here for a number of days, and you know, seeing the players out and about, they had a game of beach cricket with a local club. I know they've been speaking a lot to media, to various networks. So certainly we've been wanting to beat the drum that it's on. So I think there's no lack of interest. I think it just does come down to slightly less than perfect scheduling, but those were the particular constraints of this season.
Do you know if there's a protest vote in Perth? We sit here opposite the Justin Langer stand. Do you have any tangible evidence that there is?
I don't think so. It's great to see JL out on the field before his commentary responsibilities, saying hello to the players. I know they were really pleased to see him. So, I mean, there was a lot of commentary last week, but I think everyone's had an opportunity to say their piece. And you know, I think the fact that the stand is named after Justin shows just the position he holds in Australian cricket, in Western Australian cricket. So it's great to see JL in such good form. And I haven't spoken to him yet today, but I'm looking forward to chatting to him. But by all accounts, he really enjoyed his day on the mic yesterday.
So there's an overarching narrative around this summer and around Australia's relationship with its team. I think the broadest PhD is, does the Australian public love its cricket team right now?
It's a really interesting question, and I think it's something that we've been thinking about and talking about a great deal. I mean, we've got a very clear vision across Australian cricket, and that's to be a sport for all that makes Australians proud, and that starts with our national team. So, I mean, I can only go on my own personal kind of experience, and certainly through the 2 years of the pandemic, the way that the Australian men's team in all formats conducted themselves was just unbelievable. We were the first team to go offshore during the pandemic, and then, you know, I think about moments that have made us proud through the through last summer. You only think about, you know, when we won the Ashes, the spirit within that, within which that was played. Moments like Scott Boland's performance in his on his home ground, you know, even like the leadership of the captain when we were on the plinth and told to put the champagne down in respect of Uzi. And then you go on to Pakistan and to Sri Lanka, and you know, I think just observing the team in Pakistan and Sri Lanka, you know, they'd be walking around with an Australian cricket top on, and people would coming up in the streets and just go, kind of, thank you for being here. The spirit that series was played, the way they ground out the win in Pakistan. I mean, I think, but again, the spirit that it was played, just huge amount of respect between the teams. Do you remember that moment when Warner and Afridi came like on almost?
Yes.
Just right, and then, you know, so I think, I've been thinking about very carefully about all of those things, and we've just got an exceptional group of young men and an exceptional group of young women representing Australia's national sport. So, I really hope that both our national teams do make Australians proud.
So Pat Cummins is a different sort of leader. He's prepared to lead on a cultural and societal front, as well as just who's going to bowl the first over from the far end tomorrow. And in modern discourse, that puts you at the centre of debate. Do you have anything tangible? Are you studying what the public relationship is with Pat Cummins, which obviously had a flashpoint around the Alinta discussion?
I mean, we do research on all aspects of Australian cricket, on the perceptions, on, you know, we take NPS promoter scores. So we do have a read on the different attributes. I mean, I think some of Pat's comments were taken out of context, but what it shows is just the position of our national cricket teams, that people that they do have very significant influence, and people listen to what they say. But I think Pat said it really well earlier in the week. You know, they are more than just cricketers. They are people, and they're very interested in societal trends and issues, and they're allowed to have opinions. So, I'm really, really, really proud of this group, and it's just very interesting the extent to which our national sport gets drawn into broader debates.
Yeah, and I think it's always been so, but I think in modern life it's really sharp. So I think the laziest phrase there is in modern debate is go woke, go broke. Is there a risk that cricket is living that cycle with a portion of the community?
I don't believe so. I think it's being true to values. Our values are very, very clear. And our purpose, our vision is very, very clear. And I mean, to boil it down, I mentioned a sport for all. We want to be the most inclusive sport that we possibly can. We want to bring people together. We want to bring communities together. I don't think you couldn't have had a better example of that than the recent Men's T20 World Cup, where we saw people from all different backgrounds, all different generations coming out and just having the most fantastic time. I certainly don't subscribe to that theory.
But fewer Australian fans than you were the mastermind of this tournament on these shores before it was delayed, is fewer Australian fans than I'm sure you would have envisaged. Like, the tournament belonged to Pakistan fans, to Indian fans. It was utterly joyful and really eye-opening, but not Australian fans. It didn't resonate in the way that I would have imagined it might have.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. I think in these tournaments, momentum is everything. And clearly, we got off to a very slow start. But you've got to remember that the opening match against New Zealand was sold out. If we'd have had a bit of sunshine in Melbourne, that would have been sold out for the England game. So, but I think what we're seeing is that, you know, we live in, and I feel so, you know, privileged to raise my girls in one of, you know, the most culturally diverse countries in the world. And I think what we saw on display for the T20 World Cup is the future Australian cricket.
How do you tap that?
I think it's all, well, I think it's on a number of fronts. And I've spoken to this at length before. I think it comes down to having a very clear plan and across three things. I think it's about relationships, and I think we've struck some amazing relationships through that World Cup. I think it's about representation. So I think we need to be truly representative of the community we serve. And then it's about programs. And, you know, I think we've had great support from a whole range of different areas. The federal government committed $4.4 million for multicultural programs as part of the T20 World Cup legacy. So I think that proves the place that cricket has in, the role that cricket can create in bringing communities together.
And we saw a powerful demonstration of that yesterday. So we had a barefoot ceremony. The Australian players, the test players, took a knee for the first time on Australian soil in solidarity with the West Indies. And the partnership of the day belonged to a lad who was born in Pakistan, who's forged his reputation on these shores, and a lad who was born in South Africa, who comes over with his family. So what that confluence of events on day one, how clear a picture of what you would like Australian cricket to be is that?
I think each of those things, and really it's the kind of the sum of all the parts, are a great embodiment of what we want to be. We want to be the most inclusive sport that we possibly can, and a place for everyone. And, you know, I think if you just think about the cricket that's been, the cricket that's coming up this season, you know, the T20 World Cup we've talked about, the WBBL has just been amazing. The atmosphere of that final at North Sydney Oval, that was just a great celebration. Yesterday, you know, we've been really true to our values with those, some of those initiatives and symbols. And we've got the Big Bash League starting the week after next. So I think it's really important that we continue to live that vision every single day.
The cooperation to take a knee with the West Indies, were you part of that discussion?
No, that was very much led by the team, but absolutely supported by myself and the rest of the team at Cricket Australia. So, but no, that was really driven by the players and very proud of them. And I think it shows a great sign of respect towards this West Indies team.
So Pat's a different captain than the nation's had before, do you think?
I think he's his own unique style of captain. And I think through last summer, through the away tours, and with an amazing body of test cricket coming up, I think he's really growing into the role. And I think that's evident both by his actions on the field, but also, you know, in some of his comments leading into the series.
Cricket here in Perth, so the 10,900 yesterday. When the Wacker Boutique redevelopment is finished, would this test match be at the Wacker, or would it remain here?
I think that's a hypothetical question. I mean, I think our aim is we would love to see this stadium rocking for international cricket of all forms. But, you know, going forward, that project is really taking shape, and it just gives so much more flexibility. But the plan is both for, certainly for men's international cricket, for our big events, like we had a fantastic WBBL final here a couple of years ago, and then for the Big Bash League, is that we really want to see Perth Stadium rocking.
Yeah. Is it... do you think we'll see Test cricket at the Wacker again? Is that in your planning, or is that a decision for later on?
It's not currently. Not currently in the planning. I mean, we've just, earlier this year in August, finalised and announced the next Future Tours programme, and the plan is that... as part of that set of matches, that tests in Perth will be here at Perth Stadium. And of course, now we have five home tests against India. So in previous years, there was always, with four tests, you always think there might be one of the major five venues that will miss out. And thankfully, we're now not in that position.
And on the grounds that we have, we read the piece yesterday, I think it was, that there is a determination to restore or have different characteristics to the pitch. This should be the bounciest pitch in Australia. We want spin back in Sydney. Melbourne's just going to pare back a little bit from where it was. Are you part of that discussion? Is that a sort of a true desire to give five different characteristics across the pitches of the country?
Yeah, well, our cricket operations experts and the curatorial staff across the country, that's obviously in their hands. But, you know, we have spoken about each of the different test venues having very much their own characteristics. And I think that's what's unique about test cricket and the test summer. So, I think people are now really just getting used to the new stadium here. But I think the feedback, even though we've missed a couple of years, the feedback is it is a Western Australian
yep.
pitch. And, I think if it wasn't, I think there'd be a lot of noise and we'd be hearing about it.
Yep. Nick, good to see you. Thanks for stopping by. We'll catch up with you in Adelaide.
Fantastic. Great to chat.